You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. Hi, I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we like to think of ourselves as the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And man, do we have our hands full. We truly do. We have a really good show for you tonight. In this first hour, I did a pre-record earlier this week with Greg Jackson from my old stomping grounds in Denver. And if I were to put a title on it, it would be How to Raise Your Son in the New World Order. And we actually used that phrase there. That's not the title of his book. You'll get that later when you hear the interview with Greg. But it's it's kind of a gut-wrenching interview. You have children and grandchildren, this will touch your heart because this really defines a large part of why I do what I do, is I don't want to see our kids inherit the world in the direction it's moving. The second hour, we're going to be listening to a pre-record I did with someone from Sutherland Springs, Texas. Yes, that's right, the site of the horrible, horrible tragedy. And in the third hour, I'm going to keep it a mystery because the last time I made an announcement like this, we got taken down. So we have, you know, mystery people in the third hour. And I'm just going to leave it at that. You're going to want to stay tuned for it, though, believe me. I want to let everybody know we have a YouTube channel called The Common Sense Show. And a lot of people said, Dave, why don't you do a daily show? You know, we love the Hagmans. They have a great show, and boy, do they ever. They have, I think, the best show on radio. And why don't you do what they do? And I say, well, because my schedule won't permit me, and my schedule's variable. So that's why we went to YouTube, and we do anywhere between 8 to 10 podcasts a day on singular topics, and I think that kind of takes the place of not having a daily show. And we also have a website called thecommonsenseshow.com. Mostly features from what I produce, but also I borrow from great people like Mike Adams and so forth. And I'll run a lot of their stuff up there, and occasionally I'll put Doug and Joe's stuff up there. And but it's worth following, believe me, it really is. And there's things I'm able to get into on depth on that site that I can't do here in the 3 hours I have each week. So YouTube and The Common Sense Show is really kind of getting the full reach of what we do with The Common Sense Show. Well, anyway, we're brought to you by people who make this possible. My friend Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals, converting soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. If the dollar goes down, and boy, I think it is, because you know the Federal Reserve through the oil companies are now embracing Bitcoin, they've set up the blockchain. And the Fed is oil, and the oil is Fed. And when the oil is doing blockchain, that tells you they know the days of the petrodollar are over, and that means our dollar will hyperinflate. So you need to just keep minimum in the bank, and I would recommend that you go to, well, you got it, Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. Give him a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. Let me get out of my own way here again and say that correctly. That would be 406-586-4842, Renaissance Precious Metals, converting soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. We're also brought to you by Numana. Every prep needs to have food, and we can help you with that food. That's right. We can help you. We can get it for you at low cost, high quality, restaurant quality, in fact. My favorite's the bug out bag, 72 meals. You can take it with you on the run or you can store it. How do you get it? Well, go to Numana.com/Hodges. Again, that's Numana.com/Hodges. Use the coupon code Hodges9. And Health Masters. Well, love Health Masters. You know why? You've heard Ted and I talk. Back, knee, whatever. I go to Ted before I go to my doctor, and I know that just drives the FDA up the wall, but it's my choice on where I go to get what I need to get through the day. And Ted Brower is where I go, and you should too. Go to healthmasters.com, and they have a searchable database for whatever is bothering you, and you can also call and talk to the friendly reps that are there, and they can answer your questions in an intelligible way. Healthmasters.com. Promo code for 5% off is 5Hodges. That's the number 5Hodges. Well, that's our sponsors for the first hour. And we have, like I said, the pre-record with Greg. And this was an emotional interview for me because it touches me at the core of why I do what I do. I've got nephews and nieces and a son, and we're handing them off a pretty crappy world in many ways. Todd, let's go ahead and play that.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of The Common Sense Show, and we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And on the newsmaker line with me, we have Greg Jackson, old friend of mine from Denver, Colorado, where I grew up. I grew up out in the Aurora area in the eastern part of the city. And Broncos having a tough year. America's having a tough year. The planet's having a tough year. But Greg's agreed to come on and talk about his new book. And he's going to talk about how families don't have to have a tough year. It's an interesting book. Greg, welcome to the show. And let's get right into the book here. This is a book about making families work better, particularly the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for having me on, Dave. It's good to be back. Good to talk to you. And, I love your show. I listen weekly. It's such a valuable resource in terms of waking people up. And we certainly know that the world is full of evil and it's on the increase. And as a father of a son who's just turned 12, you know, I really do believe, and I know that you're going to agree with me on this, that we live in Babylon, and the challenge is, how do we live in Babylon? Do we certainly don't surrender, we don't submit, we don't give in, but especially as Christians, we're supposed to be unique, we're supposed to be different, we're supposed to have the blessed hope that there is life beyond this one. And that's what I think our most important contribution can be as parents, especially, or as grandparents, and especially to our sons. I think we both agree that one of the greatest problems in our country has been the breakdown of the family. And it's, you know, half of the kids don't have dads at home. They live in single parent families. And the destruction of the family, I think, has just been the main reason that we're seeing the evil that we're seeing in virtually every area of society. So I decided, I think the last time I was on your show, we discussed my previous book, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die. And this is kind of a follow-up. Is that my phone? Can you hear me okay?
No, I hear you just fine. I don't hear anything. So
okay.
Maybe a little NSA trick.
NSA on your end, probably. This book, Dave, really is a practical short book. People can, you know, they can check it out on Amazon and preview it as well. But it's called 40 Rules to Help Boys Become Men. And really, to me, I don't know, I'm not certainly going to save the world, but I certainly can help ensure that my son grows up to be a godly man and a responsible member of society. And I'm going to do my best to ensure that my son knows the type and practices that, to the best of my ability, the types of things, Dave, that you and I were taught when we were growing up by our dads. things that used to be commonplace that, frankly, the last couple of generations haven't learned. And we see it everywhere in society.
Correct.
I was taught when I was growing up that I opened the door for my mother when she walked in the house.
Yep.
Or when we were going out to dinner, or I'd always hold the door open. I was taught to wait till everybody was seated before we started to eat. And of course we prayed, as well. I was taught to put my napkin on my lap. I was taught, Dave, that when I shook hands with somebody, that I looked them in the eye and gave them a firm handshake and smiled, because first impressions matter. And so these are the types of things that are in the book. I know they sound pretty basic, but they're really the building blocks, I think, that we are supposed to teach our kids, and in really just in preparation for life and to be successful in life. And these are the things, you know, people wonder, boy, we're living in a society that's just increasingly uncivil. And yet for almost 300 years of American history, even predating our founding, these were manners and rules of etiquette that were commonplace and that really served as a foundation for a civil society. And some people are probably nodding their heads right now saying, Greg, it's too late for that. We're too far gone. Well, that might be the case. But the bottom line is we still have an obligation to try. We have an obligation, I believe, as parents and grandparents, to teach these things to our children, because my vision, Dave, is that if the Lord tarries and the tribulation isn't right around the corner, that my you know, what's in my heart and what I envision is I'm going to do everything I can to instruct my son to be a godly man, to be valorous, to be courageous, to stand up to bullies, to speak like you do on your radio show for the defenseless, for people who can't speak for themselves. And I believe that, what if, Dave, I mean, you have millions of listeners that listen to your show. What if everybody that had a son got a copy of the book this year and went over these 40 rules that are in the book and taught them to their sons? What if that actually made a difference? And when we looked around, we noticed, wow, these kids are a lot more well-mannered, a lot more respectful of elders and authority, a lot more loving, a lot more civil in society in general. And that's really my vision in writing the book, not just for my son, but for other boys that don't have those skill sets.
Well, one of the things that I think that I'm sure you're facing, I know I'm facing, is my son is outnumbered. And what I mean by that is, although we tried to teach him elements of fair play, compassion, consideration, respect for authority, I would say the majority of his colleagues his age aren't instructed in such a manner. Or if they are, it's so far and few between that the lessons aren't sticking, because what we see from a lot of these younger people is wholesale disrespect.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you bring up a good point. And I've told my son the same thing, which is that, I mean, my son goes to a Christian school. He's in seventh grade. We're trying to give him every opportunity to, to give him the best opportunities possible. But even at his Christian school, I mean, there's coarse language, there's foul language, there's, you know, kids that are looking at pornography, and There's all sorts of bad behavior. It's probably less in his school than your average run-of-the-mill government-run public school. But the bottom line is that, as I said before, I mean, we are living in Babylon. And the effects of, the ungodly effects of the media, the culture at large, everything that our kids are exposed to is so powerful that no half-hour Sunday school class once a week is going to combat the type of indoctrination that our children are receiving at breakneck speed. And so what I've told my son is, you know what, this is the way it is, and Dad is not going to be able to be there looking over your shoulder all the time to ensure that you're making the right decisions and the right choices. But as far as I'm concerned, Dave, as a father, my only obligation is to at least let him know what those elements for success are in life to the best of my ability, so that I can put my head down in the pillow at night and say to myself, you know what, I taught my kid right from wrong. I helped him cultivate a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I helped lead him to salvation. I taught him right from wrong based on God's word. I wrote a book, this book, 40 Rules to Help Boys Become Men, as just a guidebook of how to actually love your neighbor as yourself, as we're instructed to as Christians. These are the things that, and I've told him, you are going to be outnumbered. You are not going to be popular. You don't do these things to be popular. You do these things to become a valorous, courageous leader and man of God. And that's the expectation in our family. And, you know, I, unfortunately, Dave, and you know this because, you know, you have a son as well, we can't live our lives for our kids. We can't want things for them, either in sports or any other area of life. But what we can do is sacrifice to the best of our abilities and ensure that we've at least given them the knowledge of what it is that is going to benefit them the most in life. And I can only hope that he chooses his friends wisely. I'm constantly stressing, as I'm sure you did when your son was growing up, you know, the people you hang out with are, it's one of the most important decisions you can make, and make sure that they have character and that they share the same values. That's a chapter in the book as well, Choose Your Friends Wisely. But, you know, it is tough, and he is going to feel outnumbered. But leaders, true leaders, are not afraid to stand alone for what is right. And that's really my hope for my son, and why I wrote the book. He will stick out like a sore thumb. Even, can you imagine, Dave, in this day and age, 2017, that you would be considered a misogynist for just merely holding a door open for a woman?
I
think about how far our country has gone downhill. That would be insulting to somebody to hold a door open. But here's the good news. The good news is that when I practice these things, and I don't always get them right, I'm, you know, preaching to myself as much as I am to my own son, but this has been a good reminder to me, a lot of the things that I've written in this book. But when I practice these things in my own life, Dave, you know what I realize? I realize that people appreciate it, and people are more apt to listen to what I have to say once they know how much I care. And as a Christian, to me, that means a lot, because if my goal is to share the gospel with people, unsafe family members and friends and so on and so forth, the first thing I need to do is cultivate an actual relationship with them, because they don't care how much I know about the Bible unless they know how much I care about them. And that's demonstrated in the way I treat them.
Well, the one thing that also outnumbers our kids, besides their their fellow partners in crime, so to speak, it's the media. Let me give you a case example here. Netflix has come out with this holier-than-thou attitude and canceled House of Cards because of the allegations of sexual impropriety made against Kevin Spacey, and this is in response to the Weinstein situation. Yet, the same network, Netflix, has a show on that basically champions sex with children, pedophilia. They think it's okay. So on one hand, they're saying, well, we're really pretending to be high and mighty and moral. And on the other hand, the mixed message is, yeah, but we think pedophilia is okay too. And see, this is the kind of media nonsense that our kids are exposed to on a daily basis.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's hypocritical on a multitude of levels. But yeah, and that's the thing that I struggle with really as a parent is, and now the kids have the cell phones, so they have access 24/7 to virtually all media at all times. And it's evil. It's pure evil. And so, you know, for me, I think just with my own son, you know, I try to as much as possible discuss these things. As uncomfortable as a lot of these discussions may be, the fact of the matter is, Dave, our kids are being exposed to things that you and I didn't know what pedophilia was when I was 12 years old. Did you?
No, I had no idea.
I certainly didn't. And now, you know, these are questions that our kids are asking. Well, what is pedophilia? What's Pizzagate all about? What is all this stuff? And so I'll tell you, I don't know if there was ever a time in the history of, in our country, or maybe history at just period, where we faced as many challenges as we are now facing. And I know that you have a son, right? And do you have a son and a daughter?
No, I just have a son.
Just a son. Okay, so same with me. But your son is older. I know that. So, but still, I'm sure you can relate that. It's unbelievable. The discussions that we have to have with our kids. But I found that I've proactively taken on a lot of these discussions, because he's going to get the information from somebody, somewhere, and I'm going to make sure that I'm as proactive as I can so that he understands and has and is able to digest the information in context. I don't know if that answers your
question. It does. It does in part. It's just the opposition forces are so overwhelming, and then we face a pervasive enemy who's relentless. And I'm not talking the deep state or the New World Order, but what I'm talking about is Satan himself. He is the underlier of everything that we're talking about that threatens our children.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And so, you know, it's not even really safe to have the TV on, and we don't watch a lot of TV other than sports, but even ESPN, as you know, has become a mouthpiece of the far left, and so you can't even really watch sports anymore without having your kids be exposed to some sort of negative indoctrination. And so at least in our family, we try to keep the TV off as much as possible and to control the media that is being digested as much as possible, but I know that that's not always easy. I really do believe, Dave, though, that this generation, what is this next generation called? Generation Z? The current generation? I think they're called Generation Z. Yeah. I'm not sure, but they're...
I'm not either. I refer to them as Generation Last, because unless we have a mighty spiritual turnaround in this generation, I think this is the end of America as we know it.
Dave, I absolutely agree with you. This is a code blue moral and spiritual crisis we're facing. I did another interview earlier, and I talked to... we were talking about this same aspect, which is, you know, how are we to live in Babylon? How are we to raise kids? I mean, what are our responsibilities? And can we turn things around? You know, I know it looks dark. I know it looks gloomy. I know it looks like it could be the end of America. And for all intents and purposes, it may very well be. But I do know that when we are, as parents, especially Christian parents, are doing everything that we can in our own families to ensure that our children have a foundation in the Word of God and that they understand and have a biblical worldview, I really do believe, Dave, and this is, not too many people agree with me when I say this, but I do believe that this generation, my son's age, they are, and maybe they are the last generation in America, but I do believe that even though they're looked at as, you know, maybe being, you know, just addicted to video games and apathetic and lethargic and lazy and really just good for nothing kids who aren't going to amount to anything, I really do believe that there is a large segment of this younger generation the teens and even the millennials that are awake miraculously because they see the hypocrisy, they sense the evil around them, and I think that there's a good percentage of them that we kind of write off as they're incorrigible. But in actuality, like, I teach my son Sunday school class, and I've been involved in youth ministry at our church since he was like 5 years old. And, you know, we have a questions and answers session. I just like to open it up and just have the kids just ask me questions, things that are on their mind as it relates to everything that's going on in the world. And some of these questions I get, Dave, are very, very telling. And you can tell a lot about someone's mindset, where they're at, their IQ, their overall emotional intelligence, intellectual intelligence, by the questions they ask. And these kids are asking some pretty profound questions.
What kinds of things are you? Let me stop you there for a second and ask you.
Go ahead.
What kinds of things are these kids asking? What subjects are they concerned about?
Well, I'll give you an example. I mean, the last time we had I taught 2 weeks ago, we opened it up, and one of the kids was asking, you know, what did I think of same-sex marriage, and what was same-sex marriage? Because they've heard about it, they don't really know what it's all about, and one of the boys who was asking said, now, I mean, a man can't marry another man. That doesn't make any sense. And I said, well, you're right. It doesn't. And it's not God's design for marriage. And we went into it. But I mean, these are things that aren't really even talked about in the pulpit, but these are things that are on kids' minds because they're hearing about these things. One of the kids asked me, is it possible for these transgendered people, for a male to become a female? Now, they're wondering about these things, Dave, because they're hearing about them in the media. They're hearing about them frequently. They're hearing about it on the radio. They're seeing it on TV. They're exposed to it. And, you know, we have an incredible opportunity to proactively teach them God's design for marriage, God's design for the natural human family. And when I explained it to them that, you know, there's only two types of people in the world. You're either a chick or you're a dude. I mean, you either have the female anatomy or the male anatomy, and there's no way to change your chromosomal makeup. You're either a male or a female, and a male that puts on a wig and lipstick is just, you know, dressing up like a girl. But it's Bruce Jenner is still Bruce Jenner. He can call himself Caitlyn if he wants to, but at the end of the day, he's Bruce. And these kids got it. They understood it. But my point is that they're thinking about these things, the great moral and cultural issues that are facing us, and they were receptive to it, and they were glad that I explained it to them. And, you know, frankly, I think that our kids are a lot more intellectually curious than we probably give them credit for as parents. And so that, to me, is the best way. I mean, look, we all talk about, well, our country needs revival. We need to have revival. Well, Dave, I believe that revival starts in the home. It starts in the individual home. I mean, we can want a national revival. We can do National Day of Prayers, and I'm not against any of that. But where does revival really start? And I believe it starts in the home. I believe it starts with fathers, strong fathers, who want to teach their kids the Word of God, to help them cultivate a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the blessed hope in their hearts, because that's what gives young men courage, bravery. That's what gives them hope. That's what gives them wisdom, is turning them on to God's Word. And that's why America was the greatest country for 300 years, even preceding our founding, because even though we were not a perfect country, we understood God's word. It guided us. It directed us. It was the foundation for virtually every area of society. But it's only been the past, 40 or 50 years that we've codified sin and, or excuse me, legalized sin, where once we were ashamed of it, now we're actually promoting it and have legalized it.
Well, we've embellished it. We ingratiate
it.
We honor it. You're exactly right. And it's we worship every perversion now. And people like you and I who are traditional, who believe in the Word of God, who believe in what we would call the nuclear family, we are now mm-hmm. being labeled as, I'm not kidding when I say this, we're being labeled as white supremacists. I recently have read things like from people on MSNBC who are saying that if you give birth to more white children, you're furthering white supremacy. The nuclear family is a white supremacist organization. That's how we're being attacked right now.
Yeah, just like the Bible says, good has become evil and evil has become good. I mean, this is how Satan has twisted and distorted reality. And I think it's part of the great deception, Dave. I think this is part of what the Bible talks about as the, in Romans chapter 1 speaks about being given over to sin. And, I believe that that's where America is right now. I mean, it's not like God's gonna judge us sometime in the future. The fact that we have men marrying men in this country means that we are under that. It means that God is, that is part of God's judgment, that he's allowed it, that he's given us over to that. And there's only one antidote, one real antidote for the evil that is, on the increase in virtually every area of our society and culture. And that is God's word. I was reading this morning in, I think it was Second Chronicles as part of my devotional. All the kings of Israel, Dave, basically, it's the same story, isn't it? In the Chronicles of the kings of Israel and Judah, which is that some of them were good, some of them were bad. The good ones, usually their kids repeated their folly. They worshiped idols and were taken over by their enemies. God allowed that as part of the judgment of Israel. It's the same template over and over. But this morning I was reading about King Josiah, who became king at 8. And then at 6, he said, and then it says 8 years later, so he was 16 years old, he remembered the God of his father, David. He remembered the God of his father, David. And started to cultivate a relationship with the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it says that Israel was greatly blessed because they found they called it the Book of the Law, which I'm assuming is the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and that they studied God's word, and that Israel was greatly blessed, and that they cut down the Asherah poles and all of the idols that were in Israel. And I think that's the template. I mean, people are always asking, well, how Donald Trump's tagline, "Make America Great Again." Well, part of that is through not having actual secured borders and not being overrun by our enemies coming across the border to do us harm. Part of it is lower taxation, because we know that the socialist taxation that we have now is socialism. And socialism is theft. And the Bible says, do not covet. And that's, we have a covetous taxation plan. And so part of it is doing what President Trump is trying to do right now, and we should all be in prayer for him that he is able to do it. He's not the Messiah. He's not the Savior. He's only one man, and people shouldn't expect him to solve all of our problems. We are the ones that need to come behind him and support him. And the reason I bring out the example of Josiah is because that is the template. If we were all like Josiah in our own homes and doing those types of things that Josiah did, remembering his father's God and rededicating him back to his father's God, by being obedient to God's word and by following to the best of our ability what God has prescribed in his word, and teaching them to our children as is incumbent upon us to do as fathers, I believe is that would be the most powerful thing that we could do in this day and in the time in which we're living, because this is a code blue moral and spiritual crisis, and we do need revival, but that revival must start in our own homes, and it starts with you and me. You know, I mean, that's really it, Dave, and that's why I'm so passionate. I mean, I have a day job. I don't write books to make money, thank God, because I don't think most people actually make money selling books. But I've written these last couple of books, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die and now 40 Rules to Help Boys Become Men, because I believe, Dave, that we have an obligation to stand up for what is right and for what is just, and to teach them, especially to young men in our society, and to encourage them to stand for what is right, to stand on God's truth, and to not give in to this tyranny. Because, Dave, if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. We are the leaders that we're looking for. And I just want to say thank you for what you do in your life every week in and week out, by standing up for what is right, for exposing the evil deeds of darkness as you're commanded to in the book of Ephesians, as we all are commanded to do, to expose the unfruitful works of darkness and evil. And thank God there are people like you, Dave, that put it on the line. I know you like to golf, as do I, and there's a lot of times, you know, when I've been writing books or doing other things, where I think to myself, you know what, this is just, what am I doing? I might as well just be on the golf course. But at the end of the day, this is our obligation to God that we are called upon to do, which is to stand for what is right and to teach it to the best of our ability to the next generation.
You know, it's almost as if you wrote a book that I would call How to Raise Your Child in the New World Order.
Maybe that would have been a better name.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting a title change, but as I'm sitting here listening, because we're talking about the forces of evil and how they have coalesced en masse against our children, and society has attacked our kids through the parents. And by that, if you teach traditional Christian values, that a man should not lay down with a man, you're homophobic. If you teach that your nation should serve its people first in the pursuit of its godly and wholesome interests, well, then you're xenophobic and you don't want immigrants. It's just insane what we're seeing here. And you're right about when you said that the lies are truth, the truth are lies. I mean, when I listen to the news today, I'll give you an example. I'll back up a few days. Hillary Clinton came out in the aftermath of the Manhattan incident in which 8 people were killed, and she attacked Donald Trump for criticizing Islamic terrorism, accusing him of being a divisive force. So we can't even name who the enemies are who commit these heinous acts against our people.
Yeah, I mean, it's pure evil. It's insanity and evil. Dave, our nation literally has gone insane. I mean, if you think about it, our nation has literally gone insane.
It has.
I mean, how many times are you with people on the golf course or in social settings or just in your average, just, you know, running around taking care of stuff during the day? Do you ever hear people talking about serious issues of the day? I rarely hear it, which is proof of talking about serious issues like what's going on. People don't. It's almost like most people want to live in a bubble where they're pretending like they have their fingers in their ears, saying, "I don't hear anything. I don't want to know anything. Just everything's good." It's almost as if the vast majority of Americans are under a delusion and are living in a in like this bubble where they don't want to acknowledge reality. And I believe that that might even be the definition of insanity, when you refuse to acknowledge reality. And so I think really the only antidote to that, what did Jesus say? He said, love your neighbor as yourself. That doesn't mean that we're subservient to tyrannical forces around us. But what it does mean is that to the best of our ability, we choose life. We choose truth over lies. We choose to be courageous, knowing that God is on our side, and that knowing that he who is with us, he who is within me is greater than he who is of this world, who is Satan himself. And knowing that as Christians, we already have the victory through Jesus Christ, because if we have repented of our sins and received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are going to rule and reign with him in heaven forever, eternally, and therefore we have nothing to be afraid of. And so I think the best antidote in the face of evil is to do good. Now, I know that that sounds simplistic, but Dave, even the simple things that I've written in this book are just ways. What did Jesus say to his disciples when they, he said, by your love for one another, they will know that you are my disciples. As Christians, it's our love for one another. Dave, you and I don't have to agree on every issue as Christian brothers to love one another. And we don't, but at the end of the day, when the unbelieving world sees Christians bickering and fighting back and forth about really kind of nugatory, picayune type of issues that really aren't that important in the grand scheme of things, they got to be saying to themselves, I don't want any part of that. But my hope is that, you know, Paul says in one of the epistles, he says it doesn't really matter, I'm paraphrasing, how much doctrine I know. It doesn't matter how smart I am or how intelligent I sound. If I don't have love, I sound only as a gong, as a clanging gong. And I don't want to sound like a gong, Dave. I want to be able to cultivate relationships with people, because as evil as people, you know, bottom line is, before I was saved, when I was 33 years old, I was a man of the world, and I was doing a lot of the same things that, and had a lot of the same beliefs and philosophies that a lot of the unsaved, unbelieving world has. And yet, I believe that we are living in the last of the last days. This is the harvest, and the Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I say, Lord, send me. I want to be a worker. I want to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as I can before your return, and I want to be a cause for good, because that, Dave, is going to live. That's not going to burn up in heaven. That is going to have eternal life. Those are going to have eternal consequences in the lives of others. So, I mean, even the simple things in this book, Dave, they show people that we have love in our heart because we have Jesus in our heart. Even saying please and thank you.
Yeah, I get it.
Even, right?
You're right.
Opening a door for an elderly person, for standing up when I was on the train in Denver Airport, and, you know, I noticed that there was some elderly women standing up, and I was sitting down, you know, in that train that you take into the terminals. And I said, oh, ma'am, you take my seat. And it was an elderly black woman, and she sat down. She said, thank you so much, son. And it was like, and there were other men that were sitting next to me, and they didn't offer the seat, and I'm not condemning them. My point is that there were other women that, and they saw what I did for this woman. They could have given up their seat for other older women or older men that were there. But I guess what I'm trying to say, Dave, is that I don't care how dark and how ugly people get and this world gets, to the best of my ability, as God gives me strength, I am going to live to my last dying breath to be a cause for good in this world, to let people know when they ask me, Greg, or when they say to you and me, Dave, in the next couple of years, how is it that you guys still have a sense of humor? How is it that you can still laugh? Don't you see that the economy's tanking? Don't you see that there's wars all over the place? How is it that you guys are still hopeful? And that's when we can tell them, because I got the the hope of Israel in my heart, because I've been forgiven of my sins and I'm going to live eternally in heaven forever, and I already have the victory.
Yeah, I hear you. Greg, we're out of time,
and
I'm sorry to do this, but we are out of time for this segment, but I wanted to give people a chance to follow up on your good work. This is fascinating, and I'm sure people want to get the book. Tell them how to do that, please.
Well, Dave, I appreciate it. People can just go to Amazon. They can go to my website, which is Greg, two G's, G-R-E-G-G, Jackson.com. Brand new website up. And the book is called 40 Rules to Help Boys Become Men, The Lost Arts of Manners, Etiquette, and Behavior. And you go to Amazon, you can look at a preview. And I think it says temporarily out of stock, but actually that should change in the next couple of days. We just launched the book, so super excited. Thank you so much, Dave, for having me on, and God bless you and your audience.
Well, it's really our pleasure to have you on, Greg, and best of luck with the book. It sounds like a necessary read for all families, but in particular Christian families. Thanks so much, Greg.
Thank you, Dave.
He has perspective, doesn't he? And we oftentimes get mired in the overall picture of how we're being assaulted. I mean, let me count the ways. I mean, Las Vegas, the fires in Northern California, Sutherland Springs, Texas, Monica Wesolowski's on the person report, on the scene report about the attempted pipe bombs at a Civil War reenactment. Didn't make the news. Why? Because they weren't able to kill anybody. But that's the world we live in. It's easier to get trapped there. And I have actually branched out. And I did a similar YouTube video a couple of weeks ago. I think it was just a week ago. And it was called A Nation Within a Nation. And my premise was you can still carve out your life and you can establish a sense of normality. And although you can't control randomness with terrorist events that are government-sponsored, I understand that. But you still have a lot of control of your day-to-day life. But then you've got to, you know, lift up and pull your head out of butt and get air and look and see what's going around the world and try to make changes. But you've got to carve out that space. And I work really hard at that. It's hard because this work can be consuming because the material never stops. I remember when I first started and I had my first shows and I thought, oh, gee, where am I going to get guests from and what will I talk about? And will there be enough topics? And I remember asking myself all these questions of insecurity that any rookie would ask. And now I look back and I laugh at that because, you know, I do daily YouTube videos and I still can't keep up. I sit down and I go flip a coin and say, God, okay, heads, I'll do this, tails, I'll do that. And that's kind of where we're at today, is that we're being attacked on all fronts. I made a comment when I was on a radio show recently, and I said, we're getting the kitchen sink thrown at us. In fact, I believe it was on Sheila Zielinski's show. And we are. They're hitting us with every angle. I wrote an article today that's up on thecommonsenseshow.com, and I talked about phase two is ready to start. Now, before I talk about phase two, let's do a moment of reflection. Have you told the members of your family how important they are to you? Do you carve out that time? I know all the good people we have in our audience, and I know you're raising your children and contributing to the correct raising of your grandchildren, but are you really taking time to touch and be, you know, what's important? Did you see what the original Facebook founder, a guy that preceded Zuckerberg, what he said? It was a psyop operation. We knew we'd get you, and we're trying to basically control people's time. And it leads to less intimacy, less connectedness. And we're hardwired as human beings to have real intimacy, emotional and physical. And Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube can't replace that. But for a lot of our kids, that and the monster we call texting, it's a problem. Anyway, I was talking about phase two, and so if you've carved out your inner world, let's look at the outer world for a moment. If you go up on the website after the show, you will see that I'm saying that there's a phase two that'll be beginning shortly. But I talked about it 5 years ago. Remember my friend from FEMA who bugged out? And he said, in the face of the growing American populism, if the powers that be that really run this country, he meant the deep state, but they didn't use that term then, that they will do what they have to do to get us under control. And he said it would involve bioterrorism. And his specialty was counter-bioterrorism. This is what freaked him out. This is why he retired early. This is why he relocated with people of similar mind. And this is why he came to warn me before he left. And that first article I wrote about that was on December 27th, 2012. And he told me we have 3 or 4 years, he thought. Well, you know, when he told me this about growing, rising populism, do you know no one had ever heard of Donald Trump in terms of presidential candidate? No one had thought in those terms. At least no one I knew. And look at where we are now. We had almost 60 million people vote for him in the face of the most massive voter fraud in the history of the country. And the powers that be have had it. They are subjugating us as much as they can by causing chaos on one end with all these mass murder events, and that's not going to stop. But what's coming are drones developing and using, under the control of ISIS, of course, with the assistance of the CIA, they're going to be dropping aerosolized substances on us. Now, it's totally an inside job. You know who created ISIS. You've heard Scott Bennett on this show and many other people who've talked about where the creation of ISIS came from. But that's going to be phase two. And sitting in the wings is the United Nations. The Obama administration, and this was covered on Fox News 2 weeks ago, and I've cited it many times since, said that the Obama administration agreed to let the UN come in and have policing powers in the United States in the face of a country that's out of control. Well, the deep state is causing the country to be out of control because they want to end our Constitution and what's left of our civil liberties in any way that they possibly can. And this is what we're in the midst of right now. First, it's the mass terror events, which are going to grow. I called 3 years ago for a terrorist type of offensive, Tet Offensive, and this is what we've got. And now we're going to see, unfortunately, drones being used to a very dastardly end. And folks, at the end of the day, it's going to get really ugly, and we're going to have a hell of a time keeping the UN out. That's right. And I hate to end this on such a gloomy note, but I would also encourage you, again, focus on what's really important, which is your family. But we also need to keep our noses to the grindstone and keep on fighting. In the next hour, I interviewed a lady named Vonda Smith from Sutherland Springs, Texas, and I'm going to play the recording of that interview, and it is gut-wrenching. That's all I'm going to tell you. It's gut-wrenching. We'll see you back here in hour number 2.